Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 3. Certainly, Judges is probably one of the saddest books in the New Testament. And, of course, we know that the summary verse of Judges is that verse, chapter 21, verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And certainly we are living in those days. God has been put aside. The truth has been put aside. God's law has been put aside, and men are doing that which is right in their own eyes. We have evidences of that, illustrations of that in the book of Judges, of people doing that which is right in their own eyes, and the consequences of such a thing. Judges chapter 3, Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them to war. In other words, to fight the enemy, not to take it easy. At the least such as before knew nothing thereof and how to trust God in the battle. Namely, five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel to them, by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Now, there's a God knows that a person is never proven by easy life or an easy way. You have to be in the real life and in the real situations of life to be proven, to be tested, for your character to be shown, for you to learn how to trust God and how to grow, etc. It says, and the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and they failed. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Baal and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and they sold him into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and all the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And the children of Israel, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. You could, most of the book of Judges, next number of chapters is, you could just substitute different peoples, different names, but it's a repeat over and over. Chapter 4, verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Wow. And it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came in as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. We see this cycle, a very sad cycle, but in chapter 4, this cycle is chapter 3, it's introduced, and it says, and they took their daughters and their to their wives, to be their wives, the heathen of the land, the heathen of the land, these godless, pagan, immoral heathen of the land. They took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Why would they have to go? Why would they go after the gods of the land? Why would they go after these man-made gods that were not gods at all? Why would they serve them? Why would they worship him? Why would they follow them? Why? It doesn't make any sense. Man doesn't make much sense. Man is a sinner. And we just have a picture of life here. That's what we have. We have a picture of life. Why do young people leave that which they have been taught and go after another, the gods of this world? Why do young people who have parents who got saved from a wicked life and came to know the Lord, why would those young people go to the world and want to serve the world? Doesn't make any sense. Why would Israel go and serve the gods, these idols, these heathen idols of the land? It doesn't make any sense. Yet they did. You know, at least five reasons why they went after the gods of the land. Number one is because they got caught in a deceptive, devilish snare. That's what they got caught in. They got caught in a deceptive, devilish snare. As the people of Israel went into the land of Canaan, God said, you need to make sure you wipe out these people. They're a godless people. They're an abomination. They commit abominable deeds. They live an abominable life. You need to wipe them out. You need to have them completely out of the land. And he says, and don't ask about their gods. Don't ask how they served them. Don't even inquire into it. You know, don't inquire into Harry Potter. Don't inquire into the soothsayers. Don't inquire into witchcraft. Don't inquire. It is a poison. It's a poison to your soul. Don't try to find out what Weinstein did. Epstein and Weinstein and all these wicked men up there. Don't even look into it. It's a poison to your soul. And God said it would be a snare unto you if you went to wipe them out and separate from them completely. Because these gods presented a deceptive, devilish, real, spiritual snare. It's real. Why else would someone be so foolish? It makes no sense to do such a thing because it's a devilish snare unto your soul. And don't think that you're bigger than sin. Sin's bigger than you. Number two, why did they go after the gods? Well, it's pretty easy. Figure that out. If you go after the gods of the land, you don't have to obey God. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? You don't have to obey God. You don't have to obey the Bible. You don't have to obey God's commands. Yeah. That's pretty complex, isn't it? No, it's not complex at all. You don't want to obey God? Well, then serve, go after the gods of the world. And then you won't have to serve God. You won't have to obey the Bible. You won't have to do what's right, so to speak. Well, go ahead. That's why people go after the gods of this world. That's why Israel went after the gods of the Canaanites, because they didn't want to obey the Bible. They didn't want to obey what God said. And you know what? That's the theme today. Soft Christianity, liberal Christianity. They don't want to obey the Bible. They don't want to obey it. They mock it. They call it legalism. You know, whatever they call it. It's just simple sin. They don't want to obey God. And why would they go after these gods? You know, there's a guy down the street who works in stone and he carves them. There's another guy who cuts down a tree and carves it out of wood and puts gold on it. And they're not gods at all. They're just man-made. They can't hear. They can't talk. They can't do anything. Why would people serve such foolishness? But it's real because it's satanic and it's real and it's spiritual. Why would you do something? Because, you know, these gods allowed them to follow the lusts of the flesh. They allowed them to follow the lusts of the flesh. And the Bible doesn't tell us, praise the Lord. And don't go looking too far. But the fact is, all these gods, Baal, Ashtaroth, all of these religions were all based on immoral, wicked, fleshly, sensual sin. And you know, that's what people want. That's what they want. That's what a lot of people call themselves Christians they want. They want to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I tell you what, if there's a religion out there, even calls itself Christian, and you can live like the world, and you can dress like the world, and you can feed your passions, and you can do what you want, hey, everybody's going to go there. Of course. Of course. Doesn't it take rocket science to figure that out? It's called the lusts of the flesh. These religions offered them that they could worship God and fulfill the lusts of the flesh. These religions had temple prostitutes, et cetera, et cetera. Elaborate on that. Oh man, this is really, yeah. Oh yeah, I want that. You know, it's not too hard to figure out the foolishness of man. You know, they didn't want to obey the Bible, and they wanted to have an excuse that they could follow the lusts of the flesh. And it gave it to them. Number four. Okay, I got some points under this one. The religious rites violated and bypassed the strict moral laws of Israel. That's right. You know, Israel, the Bible had some very strict, straightforward moral laws. You don't do this. 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 And these religions said, you can do that, and 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 you can do that. Yeah, that's right. Notice it says, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons. You know, under paganism, you could marry based on the flesh. You don't have to worry about godliness. It's just the most beautiful, sensual, worldly girl, you know, no problem. No problem. You can find them everywhere. And you can fulfill your lusts of the flesh. You can have just like Noah, right? The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. and they married whom they chose. And the godly seed was ended. There's only one family left, Noah's family. And this is very real. You know, Mary based on the flesh versus based Mary on God. I can do a little preaching on this one. You know, I can do a little preaching on this one. You know what? If you want a godly man, you better be godly. All right, that just kind of limits the field, doesn't it? Right? That limits the field right there. Want a godly man? You better be godly. And if you want a godly wife, you better be godly. Unless you're looking for someone who doesn't have any, you know, any sense. Only a person without any sense would marry somebody that's not godly. Why would you do that? That's just disaster. But you know, the field is really narrowed down when you understand what God said. And we could preach on that, but I think that's sufficient. Number four. Why would they go after the gods of the world? Because you could have spirituality without holiness. Think about that for a minute. You could have spirituality without holiness. No, it's very, you can't help it. I got to get political things in here. But you know, I can't help it. You know, Chelsea Clinton worshiped Satan. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a member of some kind of satanic organization. You know, in my experience, I remember there's a particular group of people that aren't right with God, a whole nation. And they've turned their back on God, but they have some spirituality in them, but they aren't holy. You know, the world offers religion that you can worship God and not be holy. You know that? People like to feel spiritual. That's what the whole mega church is all based on. Feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. Go have a drink with the pastor. Go turn on the rock music. Dress like the world. Be immodest. They don't even know what modesty is. They just don't even figure it out. They have no clue. You know, because people want to be spiritual. That they love spirituality without holiness. But you know, to worship the God of the Bible, you have to have a holy life. He's a holy God. Don't be deceived by modern liberal mega church Christianity. It's not Christianity. It's spirituality without holiness. That's what it is. But we got a holy God. We have a holy God. And you know, I'm sure that these pagan rituals were spiritual. Yeah, they were spiritual. There was mysticism involved. There was, you know, some woobie-joobies going on. But it was dark. It was dark. You could live like the world. You could be carnal. You could be fleshly. You could be involved in all this horrible, horrible prostitution stuff. But you could be spiritual. That's what people like. That's what people like. It feeds their pride. It feeds their flesh. That's why they turned to these false gods. You know, spirituality without holiness. It's everywhere, right? Even today. Number five, he didn't have to be different. You didn't have to be different. But you would be accepted by the people of the land. You wouldn't have to be different. You know, I think one of the most powerful, you know, the lust of the flesh is pretty powerful. It is powerful. Pornography is a powerful, powerful force in America and in the world. And the lust of the eyes, it's a powerful force. Walmart, they know all about the lust of the eyes. They got it. They got everything that you don't need on sale. That's right. And you walk in there and you buy what you don't need. Because, you know, lust of the eyes. Man, it's great. Whatever. But I think more powerful than any of them is the pride of life. You know, during this week, during election, I listened to Newsmax TV. And there's a couple guys on there that Mr. Spicer, when the president gave his announcement on election night that something evil is going on. And it was. They knew what was going on. You know, they knew about this Dominion voting software, etc. He knew something evil was going on. But I caught it right away. Sean Spicer says, president shouldn't have said that. They're gonna, the media is gonna take hold of this and they're gonna, you know, flay him. I don't know what he said. And I immediately thought, what do we care about impressing the media? Why should Sean Spicer be, why should it be important to him to impress the media? But if you listen to these guys, sometimes you find out that they're in the neighborhood, the places that they live. Their neighbors are big media people. And the big, oh boy, I tell you what, the pressure is intense to be liked by the media. It's intense. This is the pride of life. This runs the world. People are so wrapped up into being accepted by the godless world. That's the pride of life, isn't it? When you would abandon God and what's right, you would wear things that are godless and immoral because you want to be accepted by the godless world. That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? The pride of life. That's a very powerful thing. And the people of Israel, they got into the Canaan land. And guess what? They wanted to be liked by these people. They didn't want them to think of them as some weirdos, and they were weirdos. They were definitely weirdos because their laws were 100% contrary to the laws of the land. And they stuck out like a sore thumb. You know, we shouldn't be ashamed of following God's law. You know, we shouldn't be ashamed. Now, I'm glad I'm not in the big uppities of the business world, but you know, I'm sure it's true. In some places of the business world, if you don't have a drink over lunch with the people you're trying to sell something to, oh man, you know what I mean? Oh man, what is wrong with you, buddy? Yeah? What's wrong with you? Are you from outer space or something? It's real. It's powerful. Yes, they wanted to be accepted. I wonder, is that who your God is? Your going after the gods of this world because you want to be accepted. You want them to think that you're fashionable. You want to think, want them to think that you're a nice guy and whatever. I guess I like people think I'm a nice guy, but I don't look too far because I know what they might say. So I try to keep that out of my life. That's why not on Facebook. I probably would. That's good. I went, Matt, could you imagine if I had a Facebook page and people? Whoa, man! Whoa, man! The spark would be flying. Why did they go after the gods of the land? Now, what were the results of going after the gods of the land? What were the results of going after the gods of the land? Well, it's pretty obvious. The Bible says, verse 8, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Number one, they experienced the judgment of God and not his blessing. How would you like to have God against you? That's real. Instead of God blessing them, now God was against them. And he was raising up enemies to them to put them in bondage over and over and over. And they weren't nice people. You know, the globalists, they aren't nice people. Bill Gates, he's not a nice man. Aren't these maybe the judgment of God upon America? For the false gods that they have followed after. And so they experienced the judgment of God. This is real. Number two, they lost his blessing. They lost his blessing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. The people of God need God's blessing. And that blessing is easily lost. Easily lost. What were the results of following the gods of the world? They were powerless against their enemies. They were powerless. They were like, oh, they were like total slaves. They couldn't do anything. These enemies were so strong. The Midianites would come into the countryside with their herds and their camels, and Israelites would sow their crops and take care of them. And right when it was time for harvest, the Midianites would all come in and cover the land. It was all over. They were impoverished. This is, and the Bible says, and the Israelites would make houses in caves. They were so beat up and sought out by their enemies. They'd hide. They were powerless against their enemies. Yes. This was the result. You know, we need God. Israel would finally come to the place that they would cry unto the Lord. Crying unto their gods, crying to Baal, crying to Ashtoreth, crying to these other gods. It wasn't going to do any good. They weren't going to deliver them. They finally came to a place that they realized that only God could deliver them. It reminds me of exactly what it says in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7. We've been there before. Verse 13 says, Second Chronicles 7:13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. This sounds to me like the judgment of God, doesn't it? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, yes. America. What are the gods of America? You know what the gods of America are? Gods of America are immorality. 79% of all black children are born out of wedlock. 79%. 49%, maybe 51% of all Latino children are born out of wedlock. 29% of all white children born in America are born out of wedlock. You know what it is? Immorality, fornication. That's what our society is built on. It's not a laughing matter, it's sin. And these poor children born into those circumstances, they have immoral parents, parents that don't have a God in their life. Their God is their flesh, and they're just twisted in their mind. They get raised like that. We have a mess. We have a mess. You know what? There isn't any news stations reporting that what the problem is there? It's not racism. You know what it is? Immorality. You know what immorality is? It's rebellion against God. It's rebellion against God. You know, just think about it. Some guy violates a girl. He says, whatever. I guess they don't even say they love one another. That's in the past. I tell you what, you're crazy. This guy won't listen to God? Why would you want to have anything to do with him? Isn't that right? And if a girl, she won't listen to God, why would you have anything to do with them? What would you say? They're a lost cause. There's no boss. There's no God in their life. They're God. The God of immorality. And you know, the God of immorality and the God of irresponsibility. You ever hear about the God of irresponsibility? They're connected. In 1919, with the Bolshevik Revolution, the communists decided that they could destroy America by making men, taking away the manhood of men. And that instead of men being men, men would be men who would seek after pleasure. Pleasure, that would be their goal in life. Pleasure and playing and games and fun. You know, that sounds probably pretty weird, but you know, my friend Grant Rice, he was born around 1910. And I remember him telling me that as a seven-year-old boy, his goal in life was to be a man. They lived on the farm, and they had draft horses, and those things are big. And he said, when I was 7 years old, he said, I wanted to be a man. And when I was 7 years old, I harnessed the horses all by myself. I don't know how he did it. He was a small man. He did it. You know, I'm sharing that because, you know, that's a mental attitude that's lost today. It's lost in our society. And you know what it's called? It's called the God of laziness, the God of games, the God of irresponsibility. And you know, that's where America's at. And you put irresponsibility. Men don't want to be the spiritual leaders of their house. They don't want to take the responsibility of raising their family for God. You know, some men have a good wife and they're trying to do it, but it's not God's plan. It's God's plan for the man. And you know what God said about the man Esau? Jacob came and Esau was out hunting. And he was hungry. And Esau wanted to be the spiritual leader of the... Jacob wanted to be the spiritual leader of the home. And he knew that his brother didn't care about being the spiritual leader of the house. He just cared about hunting. And he said to Esau, you know what? I know you're really hungry. And I got this good food prepared. You know what? Sell me your birthright. And I'll give you this food. And Esau says, sure, I'll sell you my birthright. I don't care. I don't want to be the spiritual leader of the house. I don't want to care about those things. I want to be the man of God. You know, he didn't say all that, but it's in the Hebrew. Okay? That's exactly what happened. There's irresponsibility. You take men that are irresponsible. They don't want to be men. Where are these men? Where are these men in the black culture? Where are these men who impregnated all these girls? Where are they? They're playing games. Where are they? They're not responsible. You know what? I think the jail should be full. And I think they should have chain gangs. And we wouldn't have to have the city, all these taxes paying for city crews taking care of the streets and doing all this stuff. You know what? They should be doing it. Amen? Let them pay for their way. But, you know, you put immorality and irresponsible ability together, and guess what you have? And selfishness. You know what you have? Abortion. The God of abortion. Killing a baby because I don't want to be responsible for it. I don't want to have my life, encumbered by taking care of a child. I want to be immoral and I want to use my body like an animal. I don't want to be responsible. Let's get rid of this baby. That's what abortion is all about. That's the God of America. It's the God of immorality. It's the God of immorality. It's the God of irresponsibility. It's America's God. And young men, this is the world you're living in. Don't think it's normal. Throw it off. This whole idea that the goal of life is to have pleasure and all this stuff. No, need to grow up. Need to grow up. I was glad to hear a young man just the other day tell me that, you know, you're just wasting your time going after sports. Just wasting your time. I thought, well, I'm glad to hear him say that. Yeah, wasting your time after all these things are foolish, you know, and et cetera. You know, another God of America, we already talked about it, it's called the God of hedonism. And it's the God of pleasure. And I'm really glad to see some of our young men are giving up on the NFL and the NBA. I'm really, you know what, they've showed their colors. I gave up on the NFL when they started having this godlessness during the halftime. Oh, man, that was horrible. You know, this isn't of God. We shouldn't be lifting up these people. This God won't deliver America, will it? And we have, of course, we have other gods, the God of covetousness. We have the God of perverseness with homosexuality. We have all these gods in America. But you know, none of these gods can bless America. None of these gods can bless America. The God of immorality cannot bless America. The God of irresponsibility cannot bless America. The God of pleasure cannot bless America. The God of moral perverseness and homosexuality and transgenderism, it cannot bless America. It cannot rescue America, can it? It cannot rescue America from its enemies that are all around. These gods can't bless America and they can't protect America. And we need to repent of these gods. And we need to turn from these gods. And we need to turn back to God. The only the holy God of heaven can deliver America. The holy God of heaven. I love talking to the university students. You know, you ought to go to university campus and witness. Once in a while you get somebody that's pretty nasty. But you know, I love going there because you can take 2 hours and you can talk to people about God. Yeah. Go through a subdivision, try to find somebody you can talk to about God. You can't hardly do it. But you can go on the university campus and you can maybe have 5 conversations about God. I love talking. And once in a while, I meet some fellows that are genuinely saved. And I like to test the waters. And commonly, I will say, I'm getting a little bit more bold. I will say, well, I know they go to this Cross Point Church or whatever it's called, and they got their rock music, and it's just entertainment, and it's fleshly. And I guess I can say things because I'm old. But I say, now I got a question for you. Can you worship a holy God with sensual, worldly music? Can you worship a holy God with sensual, worldly music? And that's what that CCM is. It's sensual, worldly music, rock beat, backbeat, upbeat, syncopated beat, scooping, sliding, breathiness. And you know, once in a while, I find someone that I think might be genuinely saved. And you can immediately, you can sense, instead of resistance, there's acceptance of what you're talking about. No, you can't worship a holy God with that music. You aren't worshiping a holy God with that music. It is impossible to worship a holy God with that music. I realize that's a revolutionary statement. It's true. You know, only the holy God of heaven can deliver us. And Israel called unto that holy God. And he delivered them. He delivered them. Judgment begins at the house of God, the Bible tells us. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for genuine Christians who are deceived and lost in the heathen, in the gods of the heathen. Yeah, the gods of the heathen. And we need to pray that they repent. And we need to repent. And we need to tell God. We need to tell God that the gods of America are sinful, are horrible. We need to ask God for his forgiveness. We need to ask God for his mercy. And you know what? I do appreciate President Trump for a number of reasons. And anybody who voted against him because he's a loudmouth, they aren't thinking right. How could you vote for a baby murderer just because you don't like someone's personality? That's that's just unacceptable. You know, and I don't like his mouth either. But I'm praying that he'll realize that the God of immorality and the God of homosexuality and the God of abortion cannot deliver America. That God can't deliver us. We need to repent. America needs to repent, and we are on the precipice right now. Only by the mercy of God can the clandestine wicked devices of wicked men, the globalists, be uncovered. And even if it's uncovered, it would be a miracle for our judicial system that is so twisted and perverted to make a right judgment. We need God. We need God. We need to cry unto God for His deliverance in America. Only God can deliver us. I trust that you're not one of these people that has their head in the sand and you don't care what's going on and you don't even think about what's going on. We're in a serious time. And we need to cry to God. He only can deliver us. And America needs to repent. We need to pray for the repentance of America. The repentance of Christianity in America. And we need God's merciful intervention in our land. Yes, they cried unto God and God heard them. Might it be so? Are we crying unto God? Let's pray. Father, how we thank you today that in the midst of the dark, dark time called the period of judges, that Lord, you delighted in your mercy far beyond what the people deserved. And Lord, we're calling on you. Lord, we're looking to you. Oh God, help us to have some real crying unto you, not some namby-pamby little prayers, but Lord, might we cry unto thee for your mercy and for your deliverance against the foes of the gospel and the foes of truth and all this globalist satanic agenda. And Lord, only you can do it. Might there be an awakening in Maquonago. Might there be an awakening, Lord, of parents who will stand up against the school system and all the horrible things that they're teaching. Might Christians stand up. Might Christians be more concerned about standing up than concerned about their pocketbook and about the prestige and the popularity of the school and the sports program and all those foolish things. Lord, might Christians repent of allowing their children to hear those perverse things and get their children out of the public school. Lord, might there be a generation of parents who will repent and realize they need to raise their children in godliness. And might there be such an infusion, we know it's unlikely, but Lord, you can do a miracle. There would be such an infusion of godly people who want to raise godly kids that this school would be bursting at the seams, Lord. Lord, we need a revival in our own hearts as well. Lord, we're probably not, most of us aren't at the bottom. We aren't ready to cry unto you. We're not broken. We don't see our need as we ought. Lord, help us to see our need. And Lord, I pray for adults. I pray for young people who've been caught in the system. I pray that, Lord, instead of resisting and maybe even rejecting what that old guy preacher says, I pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit is able to at least get a little truth into their heart. And, Lord, they in their own spirit would there'd be a sense of war in their soul against the evil of the hour. Lord, might it be so. Oh, God, we need your help. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord's been trying to talk to you perhaps tonight about sin. Sin. how horrible it is, how horrible results it brings, the judgment that it brings, and that you need to be saved from your own sinful self that loves these things. You need to be saved. God is speaking to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to be a part of this world. I don't want to be a part of this world's rebellion against God. I don't want to be a part of this world of immorality and immodesty and pleasure seeking and all these fleshly things. I don't want to be a part of that world. I want to be on the right side of God. And God is speaking to you. Maybe there's specific sins been mentioned tonight. And maybe the Lord is showing you how wicked you are because you really like those sins. And maybe God is showing you by your liking those horrible sins how wicked you are and how wicked of a heart you have and how much you need God and you need God's forgiveness. And maybe tonight is the night you will begin to start repenting of your sinfulness. Maybe tonight is the night that God is beginning to deal with you. Maybe you're a young person and somehow God is opening your eyes that you need to be different from this world and you not to be ashamed of being different from this world. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I realize we live in the day of judges and I don't want to be a part of it. I want to be on the other side. And God is speaking to my heart. I know it's a general invitation. That's okay. But God is speaking to your heart. And that resistance is building up in your soul that you don't want to be following the world. And you see yourself, maybe you've been a puppet just following this world. And you realize that's the wrong way to go. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be a follower of God. And I need to be on the right side. And I need to be not ashamed of it. God has spoken to my heart. I want you to pray for me, Pastor, that I will not be a part of this wicked world. Instead, I will be one who wants to live for a holy God. And God is speaking to you in some specific way or maybe some general way. And you know that you just need to say yes to God tonight. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Just lift your hand up wherever you might be. God is speaking to your heart. Okay? I see some hands. Amen. Amen. It's important for young people. Hopefully, I connected. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Maybe you need to be a part of the crowd that gets concerned about what's going on in our world and cry to God for His mercy for our land and for the devil to be defeated. And you've been just kind of standing on the sidelines, but you need to get active crying to God for His deliverance for our country. And maybe God is speaking to you about joining those people at the flagpole. Maybe starting your own prayer circle. But God is speaking to your heart. Say, you know what? I need to get serious about praying for our country. Anyone here tonight? I need to get serious about praying for our country. Okay? Amen. Others, I need to get serious about that. Amen. I need to get serious about praying for our country in these days. Amen. Now, let's pray. Father, pray that you would bless these important decisions. And now, Lord, might they be real decisions. Might it not just end at the end of the service. But Lord, also I'm praying right now that whoever is here tonight and is not saved, Lord, they would sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, in your mercy, you would put some pressure on them. That they need to do something about Jesus Christ. They need to turn to Him. They need to surrender to Him. They need to trust their sin to Him. Help, Lord, for good people who are good. They aren't bad sinners. But, Lord, being good isn't going to save them. I pray that they might trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior tonight. Work in hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, let's see, Luke, close this, will you? With us. Oh, are you in the last one? Okay. This might be the most important part of the service right here. What you're going to do about what you heard. Okay? So, you got about 1 minute. God trying to speak to your heart. You can resist and that'll be over. Or you can say, yes, God.
I'm saying 397, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a simple hymn of invitation, but really is a decisive song, and hopefully you can truly sing it from your heart this evening. Let's stand as we sing 397 in the blue hymnals, I have decided to follow Jesus.